Okay, we're going to start with this is Jen Tiffin that we're having a chat with today.
Hi.
We're going to talk about today we're going to talk about music, and so Jen, you said your first CD that you ever bought was Inner Circle.
Yes.
And what was the song on Inner Circle that you on that
called,
disc?
It was called Sweat.
And what was the name of the disc?
Bad to the Bone.
Out of the Bone. So it was 1992 you bought that, I believe.
Yes, I just purchased my first CD player.
Very good. And did you know much about Inner Circle before you
no.
bought it?
I knew one song.
And just checking online today, I believe on YouTube it's had about 7 million views, that song. On the.
It was a pretty popular song.
I actually did know it, surprisingly. Did you ever try and follow that up with more, I would say that's kind of like reggae dancehall music. Did you buy any more Inner Circle CDs after
no,
that?
No, that was the one and only, followed up maybe by Bob Marley in my university years, but...
Different reasons, I'm assuming, at
maybe.
That point. Uh-huh. That's fair. And you let me know also that your favorite CD... was Counting Crows.
Can we just go back
yes,
to the...
Yes, for sure, yeah.
I just also would like to state for the record that I paid $22 for this CD.
Wow. For one song.
One song. That was the price of a CD those days.
A lot of people bitch about iTunes right now. I'm paying $1.30 for one song.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And my CD player that was the size of a, you know, fairly large stereo, mm-hmm. one disc changer.
Yes.
Yes.
And did you also have a Discman as well?
In the later years, but I did start with a stereo-based CD player.
Top loader?
No, it did have a drawer that
yeah?
came out. Yes. Hmm. Yes.
And it was like a Ghetto Blaster format, I'm assuming?
No, it hooked up to like a stereo.
Oh.
It was a single...
So much like a, I guess in recent years, like a DVD
yes,
player.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, similar sort
similar.
Of
similar.
Uh-huh.
So I saved all my money to buy a CD player and then bought a $22 CD.
For one song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember what brand name it was? Or how much you paid for that CD player?
DVD player.
DVD?
DVD. Oh no, CD, CD. What am I thinking? I jumped a couple.
You did jump a couple.
A lot, but I don't know exactly how much.
Okay. No, that's fair. A few hundred bucks. Presumably.
Probably, I'd say over 100.
Yes. Yeah.
Safely.
Yeah, that's the way things seem to go at that point.
Sorry, we can carry on.
No, no, that's fine. What are you talking
I
about?
Just thought it was interesting.
No, that's excellent.
Yeah.
This is your
relevant to the conversation.
This is your conversation, so whatever you want.
Okay, Gian.
There's no need for being like that. So, the favorite CD that you said... is
yes.
Counting Crows.
August and Everything After.
Okay, and approximately what year was that? I didn't do much research on that
Ooh.
One. I'd say maybe 94, 95?
No. I'd say 93.
Okay. And how did you get onto that?
It was popular on the radio. I recall... This is going to age me, but it's fine. I recall driving to go roller skating
mm-hmm.
with, well, our parents were driving us roller skating in
yes.
Jenny Petch's parents' car. And we had the album. We had Mr. Jones. That was the popular song on the album. Blaring in the car. I was probably in grade 7, maybe grade 8.
Mm-hmm.
And... It was top 40.
It was released 93, late 93.
Okay,
so.
Yeah.
94.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. So Mr. Jones was your favorite on that?
It was, to start, but that's an album that I could put on...
Anytime.
Anytime, listen to the entire thing, enjoy every song. That's probably of my entire CD collection, the CD that has had the most listens to.
Hmm. No, I guess because I already know this, but would you then rate Counting Crows as your favorite band?
No.
Okay. So, and what significance does, if you play Counting Crows now, that disc, what does that disc do for you now?
The whole thing is, it's not a happy CD. Like, Adam, whatever his name is, the lead singer, he struggled with depression, and, like, his songs were sad. But
Adam Duritz.
Yes.
I believe.
But that whole album is happy to me. Like, it brings back good memories. It's a feel-good CD. Entire thing, top to bottom.
And you said that was probably around grade 8?
Yeah, I'd say grade 7 or 8 for me.
Yeah.
I think I started high school in 95. Okay. 94, yeah, 95.
You'd be close to the end of public school. Those are good times for most
people. You know, the drama of 13, 14-year-olds.
Yeah, it's an important time in life. So Round Here was another
Round Here, top Anna 40 Begins. Song.
Anna Begins, was that a top 40?
It might have been.
Yeah.
They're all, that was an album that I'd be interested to know how many songs went radio bound from that album. I'd say a good chunk of them. But maybe not.
Well, it's got Mr. Jones for sure was up there. Ram King.
Yeah,
Round King. Here. And A Murder of One seemed to sort of be the... I Can't Profess to Knowing a Murder of One or Rain King. Don't
I
really
bet you would if you heard them.
Ring a bell for me. But I wasn't a big Counting Crows fan. I was one of those idiots singing at the bar Mr. Jones when it came on.
Mm-hmm.
Those were in my bar days at that point. So
slight age.
Different time of life. Yeah. And did you ever get to see Counting Crows live?
No, I did not.
That's kind of surprising.
It is. It's sad. I don't think they toured much in Canada.
Okay. Did you buy subsequent albums?
I did. I have Recovering the Satellites. That was the next one.
I'll take your word for that.
I believe I only own 2 Counting Crows. But they stopped. They broke up.
Yeah.
They may only have 2 albums, to be honest with you.
I don't think so, but that's okay.
I'm not sure. Oh, then they did a song for Shrek. They did a song on the Shrek album. He did, at least. I don't think it was Counting Crows, it was Adam.
Right.
Yeah.
It says they did 6 studio albums.
Oh, okay, that's more than 2.
6 live albums, 2 compilation albums.
Interesting.
It is very much so. Yeah, they're sort of off my... And Shrek 2 was the...
That was a pretty popular one. I can't remember what it was, but... Accidentally Love.
Yeah. I believe they did a cover of Paved Paradise.
Yes, they did.
If that's the name of the song.
Joni Mitchell.
I'm not... Okay, well.
That's the original. It was Joni
Mitchell. There you go. You know more about this than I do. That's good. And their second album did peak number 1 on the Billboard 200. I can't say as though I even recognize the song Angels of the Silences. That apparently was the big one there. For those listening, that's Oscar the Cat. Not Oscar the Grouch.
He wanted to chime in. Nicely played, buddy.
So if... They're not your favorite band. What would be your favorite band?
Dave Matthews Band would be my favorite band.
And I'm assuming that they would also carry your favorite song.
They would.
What is your favorite song?
Number 41.
And that's off the album Crash, I believe.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And of what significance is that song? Is there a special memory or...
No, it's a pretty sad song, actually. I don't really have a... I saw him play that live in Michigan with Tim Reynolds, who the two of them toured acoustically. And it was a pretty big deal to see them play together acoustically. I have good memories of that, but I don't have... I just love the song.
That's fair. And how many times have you seen them live?
I would say possibly about 15 times.
I
think so.
So, do you recognize that that is... And so, do you realize that you've probably seen them more times than they have albums?
Really?
They only have 8 studio albums.
Studio albums. If you were to say live albums,
they have hundreds. 50. They have 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they have
yeah.
just a crazy amount. And would you say Crash was sort of their big...
That was their most popular
sort of album. Welcome to the world?
I would say, yeah, that's the album most people know the best.
Yeah, it appears as though they only had one album before that that was like a studio album.
Yes.
And have you, out of the 15 times that you've seen them, do you think they've played
number 41
every time?
No, I would say definitely not every time, but I've been lucky enough to see it a good number of times.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And would it surprise you to know that 41, would you say that's a single from that album that had radio play?
No. May have had some radio play, little.
Not a single from that album. There was 5 singles on that album.
Yeah.
41 was not one of them.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Too Much, So Much to Say, Two Step, Crash Into Me, and Tripping Billies.
Yep.
And has 41 ever played any significance in your life?
No. The number doesn't mean anything to me.
No, not to get into personal stuff, but like, has it ever played in like bank codes or like passwords with your computer and stuff like that? No, just a curious question of how much does it permeate your life?
Yeah, no, I use some combination.
I'm not asking you to divulge any like secret information here. Yes. Okay. Fair enough. That's fine. And are there any? Who have you seen the most? Have you seen Dave Matthews the most in concert of any?
Yes. Yes.
Who's your second? Is there a close?
No. No, I don't think so.
Is there one concert of Dave Matthews that really stands out for you?
The Michigan trip was probably the highlight.
And who'd you go with?
I drove with... So, my girlfriend... So, you can belong to the Dave Matthews fan club, which gets you into the... It's called the Warehouse. And they... you can get tickets by lottery for concerts. So, this concert was at a university... Like, arena, basically... gymnasium, I guess you could say,
mm-hmm.
in Michigan, and we won the lottery to get tickets, and we didn't just get tickets, we got like 6th row from the front tickets to this acoustic rare concert that I think only had like, I don't know, maybe 1,000 people at it.
Wow.
And I was going with my girlfriend Leslie, and it was during university and exams, and she decided like 2 days before that she couldn't go because we had to drive. She had an exam, like, the next day, and we were driving to Michigan to watch this concert and driving all the way back to Waterloo, and it seems a bit crazy that we did this to start with. And she bailed. So I had a crush on a guy who was also a Dave Matthews, huge Dave Matthews fan.
Mm-hmm.
So he jumped at the opportunity to take this extra ticket. And so we went with his buddies, 2 other buddies, Dave and Gavin. And the 4 of us road tripped it to Michigan.
Nice.
Night and back.
Came back same night.
Yep.
Wow.
After they drank like a warm case of Bud Light from Duty Free in the parking lot beforehand. Not really the wisest thing I've ever done.
I'm assuming they drove?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And how was border crossing about that?
Surprisingly fine.
My half times have changed.
Yes. So that concert would be the, like, oh, there was a, I also went to Rochester to see, he played a Dave and Friends concert, and they had Trey Nastasia from Phish.
Okay.
And Loretta Lynn, is that right? Loretta?
Mm-hmm. That's a person.
No. Nope.
Country person?
It is a country person, but it's not Loretta Lynn, it's Louis, anyways, it'll come to me. Older country folky singer And so it was Dave and friends, who was also to other cool people to see. Mm-hmm. So that concert was, and they did covers of stuff. So that was a pretty cool concert to see as well. Then I went to Darien Lake to see him. And I think the rest have been Toronto Amphitheater. Darien Lake was a bit of a disaster. It took us 2.5 hours to get our car out of the parking lot.
Wow.
Because people were like, they tailgate the States and people were
partying afterwards
and not moving. And it was a big disaster to then drive like a good mm-hmm. couple hours home after that.
Yeah.
So my mother's not really, she wasn't really supportive and happy of my rather big obsession in the early 2000s
mm-hmm.
and my road tripping.
And do you feel you've curtailed your habit?
I did. I became an adult, and I'm
pretty sure at that point, though, you would have been technically an adult.
No, I became an adult when I bought a house and brought on debt.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, I had to curb my concert-tailing days because I was somebody that went to numerous concerts every year. And now I'm lucky if there's one.
Right.
And that's still a pretty big budget item.
Yes. Yeah. I can understand that. Budgets are important, especially when it comes to concerts. And some of the concerts now can be...
a couple $100.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at all the cost of what it is, if you take time off work and then you need to drive to a venue, say Toronto, or even take the train... or
you're also paying for parking.
Parking.
Your beer is like $16 or $18 for one.
For those of us that drink, yes, that's the case.
Yes. You also end up buying a concert tee for $30.
Or from the knockoff guys outside for $20.
Yes.
But you're not getting a legit t-shirt.
There's usually some street meat involved.
Yes.
Dinner.
Or vegetarian options.
Yes. For the
vegan vegetarians.
So the whole thing becomes a rather pricey evening now.
And you also have to look at some people tour. I know I was interested in a couple of concerts this summer, which surprisingly through Ticketmaster, I couldn't get tickets, but or not surprising. And, you know, the two venues that I wanted to see were on a Tuesday night and Thursday night. And, you know, there becomes big spinoff with those sorts of things because you're missing work and possibly multiple days.
Yes.
Of work.
You're using vacation time to do this.
Yeah. So then it's kind of a hobby, I guess, in a sense, and kind of a weird hobby, I guess, at that, to spend money.
It's also, when you really think about it, they're jamming a venue with a couple thousand people. They're charging them, let's say on average, I'll say safely $80 a ticket. You're pretty much hard-pressed to get to a concert for less than that these days. Ticketmaster dings you about like $25 in ticket fees, which is already a huge pet peeve.
Mm-hmm.
And this celebrity on the stage is like rolling in cash probably. And where's my $80 like going here?
Yeah. I find the other part that's offensive, which I know we're in a private industry world, but I found it difficult on the shows that I was interested in seeing. I immediately got booted to StubHub to buy resale for a ridiculous amount of money.
Yep.
And I couldn't wrap my head around that.
Yeah.
I almost have half a thought of just going to the venue and just seeing if I could buy a scalper. Because I feel like I would rather give it to the guy who's out there standing in the rain.
For sure, than somebody that just posted on the internet.
Yeah, who just click, 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 and they made $400.
Yep.
That's, I guess, my own moral compass.
I don't know how that's legal when scalping is legal. Is it not the same thing? I'm not sure.
Not sure. Couldn't tell you.
Anyways, it's also difficult to find somebody that wants to go with you to the same concert, because when prices are so high, nobody just wants to just go for the sake of like, oh, sure, I'll go to a concert. They want to really want to see the same thing that you want to see.
Right.
So, and if you're just doing this and taking a significant other, you're doubling your cost just to go to a concert, right? So you have somebody to go with if you don't want to just go by yourself.
Yeah, and good point of being, you know, with more responsibilities, older, with house or apartment or whatever, it also comes down to work schedules. And if they're a midweek concert, trying to, A, find someone with the same listening sense that you have, and then having them get on the same schedule to take days off or whatever, mm-hmm. or meeting you and the logistics, because friends, as time goes on, don't always stay in the same locality. And
there's other commitments, right? People have kids and other stuff going on, right?
Exactly.
And then a lot of what sort of the theme these days is these weekend festivals in the summer. And then you're committing to like a $250, $300 ticket, camping or staying overnight and making a whole weekend of it. And then you're giving up a weekend.
And unfortunately for us, being local to Barrie, we don't have Molson Park at our fingertips anymore. So you're looking at going to Oceaga in Montreal, or, you know, if you're really into the big ones, you go to Coachella in California, mm-hmm. Rock the Bells in New York.
Yep.
I mean, or Bonnaroo, I think that's Tennessee,
yep.
maybe.
Yep.
You're committing, you know, even a 3-day festival, 2 days worth of travel, if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
So you're at 5 days, you're at $1,000.
Yep.
$1,000 to go and see possibly some really great, you know, musicians in possibly a great venue. And I've never been to any of those big, big concerts. But it's a full financial commitment to do.
It's a vacation. You have to look at yes. it like that's what you want to do as a vacation.
Fully.
Because I could spend $1,000 and lay on a beach and eat food and drink food all day long. And to me, that sounds like a great vacation. But I guess for other people, that has to be a form of relaxation and enjoyment for you to take it that way. I would personally come home from something like that exhausted.
Yes.
From camping and concerting and partying, essentially, for a week.
And you also have the sort of X factor in that if it's raining the whole time you're there,
yep.
you're standing in the rain.
Yep.
And if you're not, then you've wasted your ticket.
Yep. And as a short person, I have to fight the crowds.
Yes.
And elbow the people around me if it's the same sort of thing as I've experienced at other concerts where you just hang out on the grassy area with your blanket and fight the people that are trying to take your space, or the 6'3" guy that decides he needs to stand in front of me so I can't actually see the stage. So that also is an annoyance.
Oh, key component for sure. And I have lots of memories of being at Molson Park when it's rainy and muddy, and the mud is its own thing you got to contend with. And
the disgusting washrooms and people yes. throwing bottles and paying $4 for water
yes.
when it's $2 for a Coke.
Yes.
Yeah.
As a person now who is visually challenged, glasses at a venue like that where rain is involved or mud is involved is not ideal.
No.
Just not ideal. But those are the challenges that we all face for the things that we love. And we all have a passion for music because music makes us happy or sad or whatever it is that it gives us.
Yeah. Do you have any regrets of concerts you've ever gone to?
Fortunately, I would say no. I think I've avoided... There was a chance I was going to go and see The Offspring at one point, and I've heard since that they've had not great reviews. So I'm happy in a sense that I've avoided that. Even all the big festival stuff like Lollapalooza and whatnot, I've always been fortunate to... Maybe not every band was great, but I've seen great bands at that. So I believe the one time... I'm not sure what the if it was a Lollapalooza or what it was, but Nine Inch Nails was second last band, and Soundgarden, I believe, was the final band. And I was really keyed up to see Soundgarden, and I was so happy that I saw Nine Inch Nails, and I really didn't care that I saw Soundgarden, because I thought Chris Cornell put on a terrible show, and that has lived on for me, and he has disappointed me in every single music venture he's ever done since then. Even the moments that I like it, he is a piece of sand in my shorts at the beach. And I don't regret seeing it. I mean, I was happy I saw it because it was at the time a Spoon Man, and I think that was Super Unknown was the album. And it was great to see because I very much enjoyed that album, but that's when I kind of got... turned on to Trent Reznor, I guess, a little bit, because I really knew nothing of Nine Inch Nails, and I thought the energy in his show was far better than anything that Soundgarden was putting into their show. Mm-hmm. Any regrets on your end for any concerts you've seen?
I'm sure there is, though I need my ticket box to really...
Like... Maybe we could have a part two to this conversation at some point.
I think I do know where it is, but I...
It's okay. We can save that for another day.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's just wrap up and say that I've enjoyed the talk. Thanks for indulging me your time and your memories. And hopefully we can get together and do this, and we'll talk about some other music topics.
Sounds good.
Or some other topic.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks.